In the heart of Scotland's historic landscape stands a fortress steeped in legend and lore, the venerable Stirling Castle. Its imposing silhouette atop Castle Hill has borne witness to centuries of tumultuous history, shaping the destiny of nations and echoing with whispers of bygone eras. Stirling Castle's origins are shrouded in the mists of time, with traces of its existence dating back to ancient, prehistoric settlements. However, it was during the reign of Alexander I in the early 12th century that the first semblance of a stone fortress began to take form, marking the dawn of Stirling Castle's storied legacy. As Scotland grappled with political upheaval and territorial strife, Stirling Castle emerged as a strategic stronghold, commanding the crossroads of major trade routes and guarding the gateway to the Highlands. Over the centuries, successive monarchs added layers of fortifications and grandeur to the castle, transforming it into an impregnable bastion of royal power. One of the defining chapters in Stirling Castle's history unfolded during the Wars of Scottish Independence, where it played a pivotal role in shaping the fate of the nation. From the iconic Battle of Stirling Bridge to the coronation of monarchs, Stirling Castle bore witness to the ebb and flow of epic struggles and triumphs that defined Scotland's quest for sovereignty. The castle's architectural evolution mirrors the shifting tides of history, blending medieval fortifications with Renaissance splendour and Victorian grandeur. Its iconic landmarks, including the Great Hall, the Palace, and the imposing outer defences, serve as testament to the craftsmanship and vision of generations past. Today, Stirling Castle stands as a living monument to Scotland's rich heritage, welcoming visitors from around the world to explore its hallowed halls and storied grounds. Whether tracing the footsteps of kings and queens or delving into the mysteries of its ancient past, a visit to Stirling Castle offers a journey through time, where the echoes of history resonate with every step. During the late 13th century, Scotland was embroiled in a struggle for independence from English rule. Stirling Castle controlled the main crossing point of the River Forth and was one of the most important strongholds in Scotland. In 1296, the castle fell into English hands following the Battle of Dunbar, and the invading forces under the commander of the Hammer of the Scots, King Edward I, also known as Edward Longshanks, on account of his great height, fortified it with a substantial garrison. However, the Scottish rebellion against English rule persisted, led by legends such as William Wallace and Andrew Moray. The siege unfurled amidst England's aggressive political manoeuvres and territorial ambitions, casting a shadow over the contentious relationship between the two kingdoms. Stirling Castle's commanding position overlooking the River Forth made it a vital point of control over the main route between the Highlands and Lowlands. In April 1296, English forces commanded by King Edward I launched a campaign to assert dominance over Scotland. One of their primary objectives was the capture of Stirling Castle, which was held by Scottish defenders loyal to King John Balliol, the deposed Scottish monarch. The English army, comprising infantry, cavalry, and siege engines, commenced a blockade to cut off the castle's supplies and reinforcements. Meanwhile, they deployed siege engines, including trebuchets and catapults, to bombard the thick castle walls. The Scottish defenders, led by Sir William Oliphant, put up a determined resistance against the English siege, despite facing overwhelming odds and the relentless bombardment from the English siege engines. They refused to surrender. The siege dragged on for several months, with both sides engaged in sporadic skirmishes and attempts to breach the castle's defences. However, as the weeks passed, the Scottish defenders began to suffer from dwindling supplies and morale. Finally, after enduring months of hardship and with their defences weakened, the Scots were forced to surrender to the English forces on July the 20th, 1296. The terms of surrender likely included a safe passage for the Scottish defenders, and the recognition of Edward I's authority over the castle. The fall of Stirling Castle marked a significant victory for King Edward and dealt a severe blow to the cause of Scottish independence. It allowed the English to consolidate their control over central Scotland and exert greater influence over the Scottish nobility. The siege of the castle is remembered as a defining moment in the early stages of the Wars of Scottish Independence. It demonstrated the military prowess of the English army under Edward and highlighted the challenges faced by the Scottish resistance in defending their homeland against a determined adversary. The turning point came in 1297 when the Scottish forces, under the joint leadership of William Wallace and Andrew Morey, confronted the English army near Stirling Castle. The English, commanded by John de Warenne, Earl of Surrey, had to cross the narrow wooden bridge over the River Forth to engage the Scots. Wallace and Morey positioned their forces on the northern side of the River Forth, near the 360-foot-high rocky hill known as Abbey Craig. This vantage point allowed the Scots to control the crossing and dictate the terms of engagement. On the morning of September 11, 1297, the English army began to cross Stirling Bridge in an attempt to reach the Scots on the other side. However, the narrowness of the bridge meant that only a limited number of soldiers could cross at a time, causing congestion and disarray among the English ranks. Taking advantage of the situation, Wallace and Morey launched a surprise attack on the exposed English forces as they struggled to cross the bridge. The Scottish Sheltrons, tight formations of spearmen, advanced, cutting down the English soldiers trapped on the bridge and preventing reinforcements from crossing. The English suffered heavy casualties, and despite their superior numbers, they were unable to break the Scottish defence. The battle turned into a rout, with many English soldiers drowning in the River Forth as they attempted to flee. The Battle of Stirling Bridge marked a decisive victory for the Scots and a pivotal moment in the war. It showcased the vulnerability of the English forces to defeat in a traditional battle when faced with a well-organised Scottish army under capable leadership. The capture of Stirling Castle soon followed as the English garrison surrendered to the victorious Scots. The siege and subsequent capture of the castle boosted Scottish morale and inspired further resistance against English rule. And William Wallace emerged as a national hero, and his victory at Stirling Bridge solidified his reputation as a legendary figure in Scottish history. The castle is known for more than just its military significance. It's also been a site of political importance throughout the years. Stirling Castle holds a significant place in the history of the Scottish monarchy as the site of the coronation of Mary, Queen of Scots. Mary was crowned here on September the 9th, 1543, when she was just 9 months old. Born on December the 8th, 1542, Mary became Queen of Scots following the death of her father, King James V of Scotland. As an infant queen, her coronation was a momentous occasion that sought to affirm her royal legitimacy and secure her place on the throne. The coronation ceremony was attended by nobles, clergy, and dignitaries from across Scotland, gathered to witness the historic event. Mary was adorned in regal robes and crowned with the symbolic crown of Scotland, signifying her accession to the throne. Stirling Castle was selected as the site of the coronation due to its rich historical legacy and strategic significance as a royal stronghold. Positioned atop a hill, the castle offered commanding vistas of the surrounding landscape, making it an ideal setting for the solemn ceremony. The coronation of Mary, Queen of Scots, marked the beginning of her troubled reign, which would be characterised by political intrigue, murder, religious conflict, and personal tragedy. Despite the challenges she faced throughout her life, Mary's coronation at Stirling Castle remains a defining moment in Scottish history, symbolising the continuity of the monarchy and the resilience of the Scottish nation. As we explore this great castle's history, it's impossible to ignore the lingering presence of its past. This formidable fortress, once a battleground for nations, now carries the weight of centuries-old memories within its walls. Beyond its architectural grandeur lies a realm where the spirits of bygone eras still tread, leaving behind countless haunting tales of ghostly encounters. No self-respecting castle would be complete without a resident ghost or two, and Stirling Castle is no exception. Many former inhabitants have chosen to remain or are believed to be trapped behind the castle's imposing curtain walls. There are many people who subscribe to the stone tape theory, which posits that inanimate materials such as stone or wood can absorb and store energy from traumatic or emotional events. Under certain conditions, such as high levels of electromagnetic energy or environmental factors, this stored energy could be released, leading to the manifestation of apparitions or ghostly phenomena associated with the event. The theory suggests that buildings or structures with a long history of human activity may retain these residual energies, thereby explaining reports of hauntings or paranormal activity, and Stirling Castle may have a perfect example of a stone tape haunting. Given the countless warriors and soldiers who've been stationed here, it's no surprise that at least one is still witnessed walking in and around the castle's dungeon. This figure, known by those who work there as the Highland Warrior, is so convincing that tourists who've seen his impressive spirit, said to be seen wearing traditional Highland garb and most notably a striking kilt, believe him to be a member of staff and regularly approach him for a photograph or to ask him about his vibrant outfit. When they get close, he's often said to disappear before their very eyes, but more often than not, the warrior is witnessed hurrying along a corridor towards the dark, oppressive dungeons, before turning and walking right through what appears to be a brick wall. Where the phantom disappears was not always a brick wall. At one point, it was a doorway that led through to the depths of the castle's dungeon. In 1935, an architect working in the castle was stunned to see a transparent figure in full Highland attire walking through the courtyard. The architect, although in shock at what he was seeing, had the presence of mind to photograph the apparition as it passed under an archway. Why is this ghostly figure seen constantly retracing his ancient steps? Is the Highland Warrior a classic example of stone tape theory? Has his energy somehow become entwined with the very fabric of the castle, perpetually reliving his past? In life, could he have been a prison guard, or perhaps a prisoner, doomed to spend eternity in the place where he lived out the last of his days? In addition to his campaign in 1296, Edward Longshanks later returned to Stirling in 1301, driven by a desire for revenge and the need to defend the castle, which at that time was under English control. In 1300, in response to the Scots' recapture of Stirling Castle a year earlier, Edward once again led his formidable army, numbering 20,000, on a northward invasion. After retaking strongholds such as Kirlaverick Castle, Stirling became his primary target after it found itself besieged by Scottish forces, with approximately 90 men trapped inside. In a bid to break the siege and against the advice of his advisors, Edward opted for a winter offensive, rallying men to Berwick by mid-December. However, the lack of payment led to the desertion of most troops, leaving Edward with insufficient forces to engage the Scots, forcing him to retreat and leave Stirling vulnerable to Scottish capture once more. As rebellion erupted in the southwest, led by Robert the Bruce, Edward launched his 1300 campaign. Hindered by financial constraints and demands from his Scottish allies for land held by Bruce, the campaign faltered, and eventually Edward agreed to a truce. In 1301, two invading armies failed to provoke the Scots into battle. After seizing Bothwell Castle, Edward attempted to reinforce Stirling with siege equipment, indicating his determination to reclaim it. However, logistical challenges, dwindling finances, and desertions hampered his efforts. Despite his continued desire to defeat the Scots, mounting pressure from the Pope to cease hostilities led Edward to agree to a truce for the entirety of 1302 in January of that year. In 1304, Longshanks once again turned his attention to Stirling, which had become a thorn in his side under Scottish control. The castle found itself besieged by English forces. Determined to break the siege and maintain his hold on the castle, Edward made strategic moves. However, the harsh winter weather and logistical challenges posed significant obstacles. Despite his efforts, the siege dragged on for months, with both sides engaged in a grueling battle of attrition. Ultimately, on July 24, 1304, the castle's defenders, led by William Oliphant, were compelled to surrender to the English forces. This marked a significant victory for Edward, further consolidating his control over Scotland. This event is also thought to have sparked another of the castle's hauntings, the apparition known as the Pink Lady. Since the events of 1304, sightings of a spectral woman clad in a flowing pink period dress have been recounted, frequently observed hurrying through the castle gates and along the castle wynd towards the ancient church of the Holy Rood. She is said to be in perpetual search of her husband, who perished during the battle with the English. Often the sweet smell of rose bloom permeates the air and signals an appearance by the ghostly woman. Who the mysterious lady is not known. Some people speculate she's the spirit of Mary, Queen of Scots. Although Mary returned to the castle several times in the 1560s, the Pink Lady's appearance doesn't align with the known fashions of Mary during that period, hinting that her origins stem from an earlier period. Another Mary, Mary Witherspoon, is also said to be the tormented spirit after she was murdered by body snatchers who, not satisfied with what they could dig up in the local graveyards, decided to look for a fresher alternative to sell. Yet the identity of the Pink Lady remains elusive, shrouded in the mist of time. Is she a lost soul from centuries past, forever bound to the castle's bloody history? Or does she embody a deeper, more enigmatic tale yet to be uncovered? Whatever the truth may be, her spectral presence continues to haunt the corridors of Stirling Castle, leaving lingering questions and whispers of untold stories. The most unsettling haunting associated with the castle is one that's heard and not seen. In the winter of 1820, on a dark, frosty evening, alone an unnamed guardsman was stationed high up in the Barbican, the formidable fortified entrance to the castle. He'd been stationed there for some time and was eagerly awaiting his relief, which was due to arrive soon. Allowing himself to relax a minute, without warning, the guardsman was seized by an invisible force and overwhelmed. He struggled and fought for his life, but the unseen presence that overpowered him seemed to possess a strength beyond mortal comprehension, rendering his efforts futile. The guardsman's cries were nearly lost in the howling wind, but his relief, only a couple of floors below, heard the sounds of struggle and his comrades' anguished screams, prompting them to rush to his aid. When they arrived, horror gripped their hearts at the sight that greeted them. The guardsman's lifeless form lay twisted in terror, his features contorted in a ghastly expression of fear. Since that dreadful night, invisible footsteps have been heard on at least three occasions, patrolling along the battlements. They were first reported in 1946, and were twice heard a decade later during the 1950s. These invisible steps were encountered on three separate occasions by three different soldiers of the Argyll and Sutherland Highlanders. Such is the chilling tale of Stirling Castle's unnamed spirit, a tragic reminder of the mysteries that lurk within its ancient halls. The final haunting associated with the castle is perhaps the most famous, and one that's believed to be a portent of doom, the Green Lady. Over the years, the Green Lady has been spotted on many occasions by both residents and tourists alike. Her identity remains shrouded in mystery, leaving the question of who she is and why she haunts the place open to interpretation, depending on whom you ask. There are two haunting tales intertwined, each shrouded in tragedy and foreboding. The spectral figure known as the Green Lady casts a shadow of doom, her presence foretelling imminent misfortune. One version of her tale speaks of a young maid, daughter to a commanding officer, who dared to love a common soldier. When the maid's father discovered the forbidden romance, in a fit of rage, he ended it with a fatal shot. Consumed by heartbreak, the maiden flung herself from the Elfin Stone Tower, her spirit forever bound to the castle's sorrowful history. Another rendition tells of a serving girl in the court of Mary, Queen of Scots. The young woman was driven by premonitions of Mary's demise, so she remained vigilantly by Mary's side each night, guarding her through the night. But exhaustion overcame her, and she inadvertently sparked a fire, endangering them both. Mary was rescued, but the maiden succumbed to her injuries, her spirit lingering within the castle's walls. The castle continues to host a garrison, and on one evening, a peculiar incident unfolded in the officers' mess. As the chef was busy preparing dinner for the soldiers, he suddenly sensed a presence behind him. Startled, he turned round to find himself face to face with a green, translucent figure, the notorious apparition known to haunt the castle. The sight was so unnerving that the chef promptly fainted. Although she disappeared without a trace on this particular occasion, her appearances are often regarded as ominous omens. Indeed, her visits have preceded fires and other misfortunes at the castle on numerous occasions. When interviewed for the Sightings TV show in 1992, one witness described her recent brief encounter with the Green Lady. "She wasn't actually on the ground, she was kind of floating, but she had her face away from me. It was definitely a woman." In the same show, another witness detailed a more dramatic encounter. "What we saw, just at the corner of the graveyard, up at the foot of the castle wall, was a Green Lady. A lady dressed in green. 7 or 8 of us ran up to see what was going on, covering 25 yards. There was nobody in either direction." Accounts of her spectral presence were once a common topic of discussion among the soldiers and staff at Stirling Castle. They spoke of ghostly footsteps echoing through the King's old building, traversing an improbable path across the ceiling. This route, now seemingly impassable, once featured a walkway until a drastic reconstruction of the structure followed a devastating fire in the 1840s. Her chilling reputation as a harbinger of doom may shed light on the distress of a young soldier stationed with the Argyll and Sutherland Highlanders at the castle in 1929. According to local journalist Alfred G. Riley, the boy was left utterly terrified after a disquieting encounter on the stairwell leading to the sentry beat above the King's old building. As the spirits of the Green Lady and the other apparitions roam the ancient halls, Stirling Castle remains a haunting vortex of horror and sorrow, where the echoes of the past continue to chill the living to their core. As our exploration of Stirling Castle's history draws to a close, we're reminded that its story isn't just about stones and walls. It's a tale of triumphs and tragedies, of heroes and heartaches. From its beginnings as an imposing fortress on Castle Hill, to its crucial role in shaping Scotland's fate during the Wars of Independence, Stirling Castle has stood as a silent witness to the ebb and flow of history. Today, as people wander through its ancient halls and grounds, they're transported back in time. The castle's echoes still whisper secrets of days long gone, from ghostly apparitions to the tales of brave warriors and noble monarchs. It's a journey through the past, where the present meets history in a captivating blend of sights, sounds, and stories. So as we say goodbye to this historic fortress, let's carry its memories with us, treasuring them as reminders of our shared past. May Stirling Castle's spirit endure, a beacon of light shining through the ages.